Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to part two of our Candid Catholic Convos episode on what we want versus what God wants for us with Spiritual Director Donna Gioberti. We have a lot of great stuff to cover this week, so we're just going to jump right back in. Donna, in the first half of our conversation, we talked a lot about the winding road God leads us down without a map, just sheer faith and trust. And a lot of times we only see the direction we've been led in hindsight. And you had mentioned something about desires and what God desires for us. But like you said, we also are gifted free will and free choice. So we kind of come up with our own desires of the heart. So what does it mean to attend to our desires? And how do we go deeper into what our desires are really trying to tell us, like where they're coming from, what they are, and what they're pointing to? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we have to really be cognizant of, and I think this is where spiritual direction can be so fruitful, is that we have to listen to the voices that are coming at us. And many, many things run through our mind in the course of a day. You know that, good things, bad things, things that we're proud of, things that we're not so proud of. And those voices come from different places. We, of course, pursue listening to the voice of God. We want to hear what he is telling us. But we also know that there is evil in the world. And that voice often hits us as well. We talk about our virtues and our vices. We talk about the things that we really excel at and the areas where we are so weak. And what we do know is that the devil is going to try to hit us at our weakest point. So when we're trying to make decisions, when we're trying to live a good, holy life, and we have a desire for something, it's important to really be aware, really think about, really take to heart what voice is speaking to me. For instance, Father Timothy Gallagher, in his Discerning Hearts podcast, gave a beautiful example one time of a young father who was trying to make a decision between spending time with his young son or taking on the extra burden of an assignment that he had received at the last minute at work. And the father was just unsure about what he should do. Should he please his son? Should he meet the needs of his child, or which was his desire? Or should he meet the needs of his boss, which was also his desire? And he really took it to God. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know, should I do the one thing? Should I do the other thing? How do I make that choice? But after praying about it on his way home, he knew that the desire to spend with his son was going to be the best choice, because that was going to be the thing that brought him closer to God, brought him closer to his family, who are children of God. And that was going to be the thing that was going to provide the Lord with the greatest pleasure. He also knew at the end of the day, we often recommend that individuals make what's called an examination of conscience, or sometimes it's just called the examine. And what we do is we take a look at the end of the day about all of the things that we have done, all of the things that we have done well, all of the things that we have failed at. And it's a really, really, really down to the bare bones, honest look at ourselves. And when we look at the choices we've made, Do they bring us joy? Do they bring us peace? Or are we disappointed with ourselves? And in this particular instance that Father Gallagher recounted, he said, at the end of the day, this young father was filled with joy. He was filled with peace. He had a heart filled with love because he knew that he had done what God wanted him to do. He did not meet the desire of his boss, but he was able to do what he felt God wanted him to do. And sometimes it's a tough decision. Sometimes our desires also take us off into not so safe places, not so holy places. And if those things are going to lead us, that's something that is not of God. Then we know that our desire is not in conformity with God's will. It's only when we feel peace and total light, when light, maybe that's a good way of saying it, when light comes from it, when peace comes from it, when you feel that God is accepting of what you have done, then you know that you fulfilled your desire in the right way. If you feel angst, anxiety, sorrow, confusion, that doesn't come from God. That is not of God. That comes from the other side. And so we need to be careful that we're listening to the voices.
I love that story about the father and the son and having that conflicting feeling between work and family. I always try to instill in my kids that we can always make more money, but we can't make more time. So if you had to choose between the other, one or the other, choose the time. Because we honestly never know how much we have. Only God knows how much of that we have. And it's so funny to hear you say that when you start experiencing, like, it should really come with a sense of peace. Because when I was dating my husband, the relationship I had had before him, I was 100% convinced that the guy before my husband was the guy. Like, to the point that it was just... The relationship went on a lot longer than it should have because I was like, no, he's it. That's the guy. He was not the guy at all. And immediately after I met my husband and when my husband and I started talking about getting married, you know, as dating couples do, and they just toss around the idea, there was this overwhelming sense of peace. And I couldn't explain it other than, like, if he had told me to go run off to Atlantic City and, like, get married right there, I would have been game because that's how at peace I was. Or over the summer, I had an opportunity to embark on a project that was it was a personal project, but it would have taken me away from my family. And it would have, you know, it was causing so much stress and so much, like, knots in my stomach, can't sleep, like, and I'm bouncing it back and forth. I'm like, am I even supposed to be doing this? Because this is supposed to be an exciting project and it's causing me more anxiety than it should. To the point that I, you know, contacted my creative partner and was like, I don't think we should be doing this right now. And she was like, oh, thank God, because I was thinking the same thing. And it's just this, as soon as we called it off and we're like, you know what, we're going to wait. There was that overwhelming sense of peace again of just this was the right path to go on. And had we continued to try to force it, then the project would have been bad. Our feelings would have been, it might have even ruined the creative relationship. It, like, it just could have gone all sorts of bad. And, like, I could see it now in hindsight. And, of course, when you're in it, you're like, I really want to do this. And you're almost heartbroken. But in hindsight, you can, it's those little God wings. Oh, I can translate it now of, like, this was the path that I was supposed to go on the whole time.
Yeah, sure. And, yeah, like I mentioned before, you know, we have to be very aware, as I mentioned earlier, that the devil is very active in this world. And the one thing that he does is he wants to attack souls in any way that he possibly can. Saint Ignatius of Loyola used the term enemy to define the devil. And so he has rules for discernment. You might have heard about Ignatius's rules for discernment of spirits. And he has three metaphors for how the enemy acts in our lives. And the first one is that the enemy behaves like a spoiled child. When he doesn't get his way, when the devil wants us to do something,
and we're resisting. We're moving towards God. We're trying to hear God's voice and listen to him. He starts poking us like, why don't you want to do that? Why don't you want to make that choice? You know, he'll make us feel irritated. He'll make us feel uncomfortable. He'll bring confusion into the situation. He's behaving just like a spoiled child, like Ignatius said. The other metaphor is that, or I should say the other way that he operates is that he operates like a false lover or one who will use another person for his own end. That's often a sign of selfishness in whatever the experience is. It could be an experience, it could be a person, it could be an assignment at work. But if there is some kind of selfishness involved in it, if there is some kind of duplicity in it, we know right there and then that is not of God. That is not of love. We know that the enemy has gotten his tendrils into that situation. And so it's important that we immediately pull out as quickly as possible. And then the third way that Ignatius says that the enemy attacks us when we're trying to make good decisions is that he acts like a military commander. He comes in and he just like mercilessly pursues someone in battle, whatever that objective is. He's trying to keep us from good. You want to go to an activity at church. There's a wonderful activity happening in your parish, and you really want to get there. You want to draw closer to Christ. You want to spend that time with the Lord. But dang, there's something else out there that looks pretty good. One of your friends asks you to go to some activity that's not exactly holy. It's not really bad, but it's not exactly holy. But the enemy is going to keep attacking you and trying to keep you away from that good, you know, Christian activity. He's going to try to keep you away from that. And he's going to search out all of your blind spots. He's going to try to make sure that you can't see what he's doing. He's going to try to make sure that you can't observe the good and the bad. You can't discern what those choices are between the good and the evil. So oftentimes in those kinds of situations, the most important thing is to resist temptations. The enemy will often prod us and poke us with all kinds of temptations, with all kinds of ideas about what we should do, what we could do, what might be more fun. But it's always important to turn our mind and turn our eyes to God and say, in this situation, what is the higher good? What would you have me do? What will draw me closer to you? It's not always easy to do that if we especially have a spur of the moment kind of decision to make. But when we continue to practice it, it's like anything, like someone trying to learn the piano. The more you practice, the better you get. The more you practice listening to the voice of God and discerning what the greater good is, it becomes easier and easier all the time. And that voice of the enemy becomes quieter and quieter. He's always there. He never goes away. And he will get you at the most unexpected moments, but it's much easier to thwart the attacks when they come.
I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about how for a while you struggled with whether or not you were meant to remain single or if you should be looking for a Catholic husband. So what do we do when our desire continues to grow, but we're not meant for whatever it is? Why does it keep coming up if it's not meant to be? Like, our plans continue to not work out. And how do we discern if God is telling us to stop pursuing this dream?
Mm-hmm. Well, it can come in many ways. We can continue to want that thing, whatever it is. It could be a material thing. It could be a relational thing. It could be a monetary thing. Perhaps we set a goal for ourselves. I'm going to give a perfect example. Okay. Being single and self-supporting for so many years, I have always taken great pride in the ability to take care of myself financially. And I had an opportunity. This was a couple of years ago. I was working in the field of economic development. And I had a wonderful opportunity to take a promotion that was offered to me. It was a much larger job. It was a much larger salary. And because I always took pride in being able to support myself, I was, this might be a good thing. But there was something very uneasy about it. I really felt that it was one of those things that was going to require tremendous discernment, because the material good was there. The financial good was being offered. But something in my heart didn't feel right about it. I had the qualifications. I didn't doubt that. I knew I could do the work. The money was great. But that would take me away from God. I knew that it was going to require every moment of time that I had to do that job. I would be working double time. I knew that it was going to mean sacrificing time with my family. And I said, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Is this a gift from you? Is this something that you are giving to me to make my life easier? Or is this a temptation that's coming my way that it looks like it's going to be easier, but it's just going to get harder? And I sat back for a while and thought about it. And eventually I turned the position down. There was a gap. Somebody had left the organization and there was a gap. And even though I knew I could step into the role, I just felt that it was not what God was calling me to. And what I discovered was, and this, it was frightening to make this decision, again, being single. I knew that it wasn't what God was calling me to. I had no peace. I had no joy. I had no comfort in the decision. And so I stepped away from it. And it was at that point I was also going through the formation for ministry, the Ministry of Spiritual Direction program. And what I really heard through very, very deep prayer and time away was, not only do I not want you to do that job, not only do I not want you to take that much higher salary, but I actually want you to leave the full-time workforce. And I want you to do my work. I want you to trust that I will take care of you. I want you to be fully aware that I'm going to hold you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to care for you. And that I am going to carry you through this so that you can do my work. So I did. I had always planned to work until 70 or 72. That was always my plan. And at a younger age, I said, all right, Lord, you want me to give up the full-time workforce? I will do that. I'm going to step completely out in faith here. This was not my plan at all, but it sounds like it is your will. I left the full-time workforce. I work part-time now at a place that I've been at for 16 years, and it's like a beautiful family environment. It's just a little part-time job, but it's like a beautiful family environment. And now I am available for ministry on a much broader level, on a much wider basis. I have much more opportunity and time in my schedule to meet with directees and to pursue the faith life, to pursue ministry in the church, to do God's work. And every need that I have is taken care of. I'm able to take care of everything. I have my home. I have a beautiful life. I've got my family. I have joyful things that I participate in. And I have the ministry that he led me to. And I think had I accepted that position, had I made that choice, had I followed that desire to take the bigger position, I probably would have had to have dropped out of the formation program. But because it was so important to me and because I felt it was important to pursue God's work and to follow his lead and to listen to his call, I found the greatest peace by pursuing the pearl of great price.
I love that. It makes me think of that project that I had over the summer that I
that I had to let go of. And while it brought me a sense of peace, like later, mm-hmm. knowing that what I had done was the right thing to do, in the moment, it was pretty heartbreaking. But I almost felt selfish that I was so upset that what I wanted wasn't working out, even though that I knew it was the right thing to do, is to walk away, which I'm sure is probably what ran through your mind as well as you were making this huge life decision. Is it selfish to have desires of our own and then be frustrated when they don't work out as imagined?
No, not at all. Not at all. There's going to be lots of things that come our way that we want and we don't get. That will disappoint us. But when we grow more in a more mature way in our spiritual life, again, as I said earlier, when we grow and we are able to understand what the greater good is, and that listening for that is what is of the utmost importance, then it's easier to let go of our disappointments and our frustrations. They mm-hmm. don't come as easily. I think when we are more of the world, when we place our trust, when we place our energies in the things of the world, when we are looking for human approval, for worldly satisfaction, whatever, there's always going to be some disappointment at some level. Nothing will ever be perfect. Mm. Nothing will ever be perfect when we are looking at it from a purely human perspective. And so it's okay to be disappointed. That's natural. It's human. But again, as we grow deeper in our spiritual life, as we grow in our interior understanding of where God may be leading us, we understand that what is of the heavenly realm, where our greatest satisfaction will be in the heavenly realm, can never be met by satisfaction in the earthly realm. There's going to be a wide separation, a wide gap there. And so there's nothing wrong with it. That's part of being human. We all go through those experiences where we have things that we just desire so much, that we want, that we long for. But we have to really use the art of discernment. And that's where spiritual direction comes in, that art of discernment to say, I have that desire. I want that. But is that going to draw me to the place of sanctity that God wants me to be in? Sometimes we have to give up a lot of things. Sometimes we have to give up, as I mentioned, money, monetary satisfaction. We have to give up position. We have to give up title. We have to give up position socially, whatever it is. And that can be very disappointing. That can be frustrating. But when we understand that it's also okay to choose those things, that those are not the important things of the world, those are not the things that are going to get us to heaven, then there's a peace about all of that. There's a beauty about all of that.
That's so very true. And like you had mentioned earlier, sometimes when our plans don't work out, we can feel this sense of abandonment. And mm-hmm. I've talked about this repeatedly on the podcast before, but when I was going through a season of infertility with my husband, I remember just like being so angry with God and feeling so alone, like he wasn't listening to me and that I was being unheard. And mm-hmm. it felt like no matter what I did, like I was never going to get what I wanted, or that God didn't want me to have this. So how do we continue to place our trust in him and learn to remain patient?
Mm-hmm. Trust is something that, as you well know, doesn't come automatically. It's something that actually is built through the difficulties of life. When we go through the hard times and we see how God responds, how he acts, we come to understand that there's something bigger than us. We come to understand that we can't do this on our own. We understand that what we think is going to be the best for us isn't necessarily the right answer. We have to fail. Suffering
comes in many forms. Suffering can be a physical suffering, an emotional suffering, an intellectual suffering. We can have extraordinary pain of the heart, of the body, of the mind, of the soul. We go through periods, what we call consolations and desolations, as we grow closer to Christ or as we feel we're pulling away from Christ. It's not just those good feelings of, oh, I feel really good today, so that's a consolation. That's not it. Are we drawing closer to Christ in our prayer? Or is an experience taking us further away from God, that we feel he's abandoned us? And when we have those feelings that God isn't with us or that God may not be hearing us, there are certain remedies to that as well. It's through those experiences that we learn how present God is in every moment. We can see things in a new light that we couldn't see before. So I think it's important to remember, too, that God never abandons us, that we are the one who walks away from him. He is always there present, knocking on the door, always asking to enter our hearts, always asking to be a part of our lives. We can close the door. We can say, I don't want you as part of this decision right now. And that's where we're going to find this disunity, this lack of peace in our hearts. But when we ask him to enter into a situation, when we ask him to infuse us with an understanding of what he wants, he will show us that he is present.
We've unfortunately run out of time, but if you'd like to hear the rest of this episode, you can listen to us anytime on Spotify under Candid Catholic Convos, or you can download this episode from our website at hbgdiocese.org. Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.